Welcome back to the AI Minds podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the companies of tomorrow built AI first. I am your host, Dimitrios, and this episode is brought to you by DeepGram, the number one text-to-speech and speech-to-text API on the internet, trusted by the world's top conversational AI leaders, startups, and enterprises like Spotify, Twilio, NASA, and Citibank. Today, we are joined by none other than Peter, the CEO and co-founder of Feathery. How you doing, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
So I want to get into your story a bit. You moved to the Bay Area, originally from Indiana, started going to Stanford, but then a little thing called Robinhood came along and you were like, oh, I'm going to start working there. You were working at Robinhood as a growth engineer. And did you finish Stanford or did you do the cool thing and drop out?
Yeah, so I was actually at Stanford for all 4 years. It was a great experience. I want to be there with my classmates. I was actually kind of doing like a dual, like working at Robinhood and then kind of like living on campus and stuff at the same time.
Okay, nice. And were you at Robinhood when there was the shakeup and all of the fun stuff that was happening?
Oh yeah, I feel like I was kind of Robinhood for like the exact period of like hyper growth where like all the crap was happening. Like I think like first week I was there, we rolled out our high yield like cash management product. 2 days later, the president of the SIPC came out and announced that, you know, we weren't insured. We got to like roll back everything when I first started. And then a month before I left was when the whole GameStop fiasco happened. So it was a wild experience.
That is wild. And especially, I feel like you being a growth engineer, you were probably in the eye of the storm.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, with the whole GameStop thing, at that point, you know, we were the ones who had to like kind of take GameStop off of the exchange. And the crazy thing was we didn't know why this was happening or why we were doing this. And we were, you know, probably equally in the dark as everyone outside of Robinhood as well.
Yeah. So you weren't a member of r/bets. What is it?
Wall Street Bets.
Wall Street Bets. That's it.
See, I think all of us were observers in that community. It's pretty fun.
That's great. But yeah, give me like the day in, day out as a growth engineer. What kind of stuff were you working on?
Yeah, totally. So as a growth engineer, I was pretty focused on kind of like the onboarding piece of Robinhood. So if you've ever used Robinhood before, when you sign up for it, you basically have to go through this pretty extensive, essentially a form where you're filling out your personal information, your financial information, your social security number. And then, you know, we all do all these like background checks on you, make sure you're a real person, kind of understand your financial investment profile a little bit better. And based on that, we'll approve your account, we'll do further review, we'll customize your Robinhood experience based on the type of investor that you are. So that was kind of the main part of the experience that I was working on.
That's awesome. Okay. And what were some things that you did to make it easier or make it more reliable, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So, I think when I was at Robinhood, what I really saw was how important that initial onboarding flow is. At the end of the day, you know, it's kind of just like this form that you're filling out. But at the volume that we have, which is, you know, like millions and millions of users, the conversion rate is actually super impactful on kind of like the ultimate performance of the company itself, right? Like a 1% difference in the number of people making it through is like millions of dollars for us. So beyond kind of like the complexity of like the flow itself, like, you know, all the logic that we're doing under the hood, we were running tons of experiments on it. I think over the first like few years at Robinhood, we ran like 50 plus growth experiments on it. We were like testing anything you could think of. Like we were even like, identify if the user's on like Android or like iOS, and depending on their platform, like, you know, we'd adjust like the income brackets that we would ask the questions about, like, you know, what income range you're in.
Wow.
But basically based on that, you know, we ended up like doubling our conversion rate. you know, was a game changer for the company as a whole. Yeah. So that's kind of where I kind of saw it was like crazy important for us.
That's so cool. And so I'm guessing you had dashboards of how these different tests that you were working on were affecting the final outcome.
Absolutely. Like the entire kind of like onboarding flow was homegrown. Our analytics, our experimentation platform, that was homegrown as well. And yeah, like every single A/B test that we ran, we kind of saw like, oh, like how are these like different variants doing? And then, you know, kind of understand like, you know, what's doing well, what's not doing well.
Wow. Was there one thing that stands out to you as like a huge growth lever that you saw when you implemented it? It made a gigantic, like outsized returns that you got from that one tweak?
Yeah. I'll be honest. I think the... I actually don't think there was like one thing that was just like game changing, but it was kind of like the combination of like so many different improvements that we did. Like every individual improvement maybe was not super like game changing, but as a whole, it was like really impactful for the company. And I think the crazy thing was like, you know, like there's a ton of like different stakeholders on the team working on these onboarding flows, right? There's like the PM, there's like the designers, there's like the engineers. And there's a ton of like conflict too between the different teams, right? The PMs are kind of the business owners. Like they want to be getting these changes out quickly. They care a lot about the final outcome here. The engineers actually don't really want to be working on this day in, day out. Like they'd rather be working on like more core business problems than like, you know, tweaking like the ordering of steps or like adjusting like the types of questions that you're asking.
That makes 100% sense. I've actually when you talk about it was more like a whole lot of singles as opposed to one home run, that makes complete sense too. I've heard the DoorDash platform team talk about it as like, we're just trying to go for 1% better every day. And we're not really looking for that silver bullet. We just want to, you know, each day make one step in the direction that we're trying to go for.
I, of course, it's one of those things where like, you know, at the beginning, right? Like there might be kind of more like kind of no-brainers that, you know, you're able to make these changes and, you know, you see like a more significant conversion bump. But, you know, as you're getting into it, like there's so many things that will improve the experience that might be a little more non-obvious. But yeah, like in aggregate, it's actually super impactful.
So were you just going up to friends and asking them to sign up and watching them as they were signing up?
No, I mean, at that point, we had enough traffic where, you know, it'd kind of be more of like a numbers thing. You know, we had like thousands of users like daily, like signing up. And yeah, we'd be able to evaluate the metrics from that point.
That's awesome. So give me the inspiration and how Feathery came about.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, I think we just kind of talked about it, right? Like this was the onboarding flow of Robinhood was essentially this giant form. And it was like really hard to build, like ton of logic and tweaks always going in. So we did kind of look at the market, right? Evaluate like, are there third-party tools that could help us in this building experience? So, you know, we looked at form builders. We looked at like, form builders on the market. And when you think forms, you probably think like Google Forms or like Typeform. And these tools are like great for like a simple survey, right? Or a simple questionnaire. But if you're Robinhood and you're trying to build your core kind of onboarding flow, like these tools aren't really built for that. Just from like a design logic perspective, it's not really there. So that's where really the inspiration for Feathery came from. We are a form builder. That's like a big aspect of our product. But we're designed for companies like Robinhood and enterprises, who have like high level needs and styling and logic, to be able to actually build these kind of core product experiences.
Well, especially when you think about Google Forms, there's no way that you can have a product that is going to inspire a lot of trust in users if the way that you onboard onto the product is a Google form, maybe an MVP.
Yeah.
I totally love that hustle. But if it's like, I got to pay for this product and I need to go through a Google form to do it, that's not going to inspire trust.
I mean, you want to feel like they built it, right? Like you want to feel like it's part of like the product experience. And I mean, actually a lot of companies do use like a Google form or a type form for kind of like their initial like prototype onboarding flow. But then like at some point, obviously you're going to move off of it. And today, like people are just building this stuff in house.
Well, also I think Google Forms and type form falls over when it comes to the whole A-B testing. You can't really A-B test those that well. And if you do, the metrics have got to be a mess to deal with. There's going to be a lot of janky stuff that you're doing in the background to see which one actually helped conversion and how much better was it.
Yeah.
So
I'll probably start just by saying, like, if you're in the Google Forms or Typeform stage of like MVPing things out, you're probably not at a scale where you like care too much about like the A/B testing yet. Like you probably don't have enough traffic. You're probably not like looking to optimize things enough yet where like you care about that. But once you hit that next phase of like, okay, I need like an actual sign up onboarding like information collection flow. It needs to be like a proper flow. It has to have like integrate with the right systems, the right logic, the right visuals. That's probably also the point where you're like, all right, like how do I really start like making this experience really great, running A/B tests, that type of stuff.
And so now tell me how AI came into the mix.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Feathery is a product. I'd say like our core market is the types of companies who have like very complex forms. So Robinhood is actually one of those because Robinhood is a financially regulated entity. So the onboarding flow is pretty extensive because by law, you're required to do KYC or know your customer to identify the user signing up for the platform, which means you have to collect sensitive information from the user. And then it becomes a game of like, how do you collect it in like the most frictionless and delightful way where like users aren't dropping off? And this is true of like financial services as a whole, whether you're a bank or you're a lending institution or you're an insurance company. All of these types of companies have like very extensive forms where they're like onboarding their customers and clients for the purposes of like extending a loan or like extending an insurance policy or anything else.
New credit card. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. 100%.
So we serve a lot of these types of customers, right? Financial services, healthcare. And what we noticed is with the sheer quantity of information that you're collecting from your users, a lot of this information, right, can be, you know, it's great. It's a drop down or it's like a radio button, easy. But they're also uploading like financial statements or a lot of these like insurance workflows are, this is where kind of the audio piece comes in. They're collected over the phone or like you want to ask the user questions and the user wants to like verbally just like give you answers for like, you know, like when they want their insurance coverage to start and stuff. So we were like, oh, wow, there's all this unstructured data that people are already collecting through Feathery. How can we help them leverage this data even more? And we kind of realized that we were in the perfect position to kind of take advantage of like the recent advances in AI because we had all this information that we were sitting on that people want to understand. You know, that's where we started launching our two core AI products, the first one being Document Intelligence and the second one being Voice Intelligence to help customers extract just like more structured information from like their user provided info.
And so break it down for me. Is it within Feathery, you now have these different products that you can plug into your forms?
Totally. It's like natively integrated with the products, right? Like we have like a voice recording component that you can literally just like drop into the form experience that you're building, for example. We have we have a file upload component. And when users upload the files, you can set it up so that it automatically runs the right extractions, prompts, classification on these uploaded files, right? Like maybe they upload like their Fidelity investment statement and you're like, I want to parse out like all the stocks that they have, all the holdings that they have, the prices, the cost bases, we'll automatically do that for them.
Wow, so cool. And that feels like a game changer because you now are not limited to just, like you were saying, like yes, no questions, radio buttons, or check boxes.
Yeah, it's a whole nother dimension of data collection, I think. And just with the types of companies we're working with, they're very document heavy, right? Like when you're like getting an insurance policy, you know, like you're getting like an entire PDF back with like information about like, you know, when does it start? Like how much are you covered for? A lot of these institutions in like finance and healthcare, like they're still very just paper, digital document driven to this day. And like, I think that's kind of a big part of where Feathery sits too, is like digital transformation. Helping companies digitize and just activate their kind of paper document data better.
And are you also helping these companies do their A/B testing to try and see, hey, how much better of a conversion rate can you get now that you're in this position? And it kind of comes out of the box, I imagine, with Feathery.
Yeah, I describe Feathery like holistically as like as a whole, we are a form and workflow solution. So there's that like form part of it, right? Which is like the user journey where you want your users to be high conversion, having a frictionless process onboarding onto your product experience. And there's kind of the workflow piece, which is less user facing, more internal facing, which is once all this data has been collected, like how can the company best activate this data? So this means like reviewing and improving the submissions, being able to wrap the data into their systems of record, like their Salesforce and their ERPs. And also like this AI component, which is like extracting information from the records, reviewing and sending them off.
So I bet there's a pretty nasty problem of like data quality when you're ingesting all these PDFs and there's a ton of tables that you think or you ingest, and then you would imagine that everything goes well, but it's kind of hard to check.
Yeah, I mean that is the problem in document intelligence and voice intelligence and even in AI, right? Which is you're automating all this stuff and then people want to know, right? Like what are the, like, are there mistakes in the data that we've collected? Like, what are the mistakes? Like, how can we, like, fix these mistakes? And so that's actually a big value prop of why Feathery has been so popular in these spaces, is because we also have kind of, like, the schema building piece of it, which is, like, you can define your schema in the form, right? Like, this particular type of data, right, like, the policy type has only four options, and it can only be one of these. And if the user enters something else, then like it's invalid. And so data validation of like these inputs, yeah, and letting people like create the exact type of data validation rules that they need kind of just enhances the whole experience. In finance, you know, they call them NIGOs, which is like a wealth advisory firm might, you know, collect all this data and try to open an account for their customer, but then the data might just be bad. And then the custodian, you know, calls it a NIGO, not in good order. Like, all this information is bad. You have to redo the entire thing. It gets really painful. So data validation is, like, super critical for these people.
Yeah, it feels like it is top priority just to save time and that back and forth of, all right, we tried, it didn't work, can you fill it out again?
Yeah. Exactly. There's a fine balance between like automation and also kind of human in the loop review and validation here.
Man, well, it's fascinating to geek out on that. I feel like the power that you're bringing, not only in the just the product of having a form that is built, like purpose built for this problem that you're tackling, but then also the maturity that you're bringing to it when it comes with like, oh yeah, we can A/B test stuff. We can tell you if you want to have like these data validations, or we can bring the unstructured data into the mix too. Just, it feels like a very cool product. And I wonder, you mentioned about integrations and how you want to have different integrations. Once the data comes in, then you got to figure out, all right, now where are we piping all of this data? And there's a lot of unstructured data that you're dealing with. And then there, I imagine there's structured data that you're dealing with. That also feels like a bit of a hairy problem.
Yeah,
for sure.
Super hairy. Yeah, and speaking of unstructured data, you know, just kind of talking on the voice AI side of things a little bit. So this is actually where we started working with DeepGram. It's actually really interesting. So insurance companies, when you're applying for a policy, there's insurance companies usually fall into two buckets. There's a bucket of kind of like low value like policies, like maybe like renter's insurance and stuff. You go online, you know, there's kind of this like automated process. You fill in your info, you get a policy, easy. If you're trying to buy like life insurance or like home insurance, you're talking to a broker, right? Like you're getting on the phone with a broker, and he's asking all these questions. And then, you know, he's on his side, he's manually entering all this information into a Word doc or, you know, a spreadsheet. And then he manually sends this information onwards, you know, to the carrier. And then the carrier looks at this data and they're like, what the heck? Like, there's all these issues here, right? So that's kind of what's going on today. And so actually what voice AI has allowed us to do is, you know, as they're talking, like we're auto transcribing and parsing the information into these schematized forms and validating the data at the same time. And then the broker doesn't have to worry about like, oh, like I'm taking like, make sure I get everything down and take all these notes while they're talking to the user. After the fact, you know, they go back, they look at what's been filled out, they review it, they're like, looks good, you know, they send it on.
The classic looks good to me.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, I mean, it's, I think AI has just been a really powerful piece of this whole puzzle.
Dude, so that is a way of looking at forms that I hadn't even have thought about, because when you think about forms, obviously, you're always kind of, or at least I default to me and a computer, but this is a form that needs to be filled out. Usually it's filled out because I'm asking you questions and then you're answering those questions and then I have to manually fill them out on my side. But you're saying, no, we can, with the voice AI piece of it, we can go back and just let that happen on its own.
Automatically.
And you can figure it out as it's going. I imagine you can just be looking at it and be like, yeah, that's what I said. That's how I said it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're on your side, you have the form, right? You're asking questions. You're like, all right, I covered this point, this point, this point. Oh, I mean, I haven't covered this piece of information yet. Let me go through this one. Yeah. So it's kind of like a guide for the broker as well. And the reason why this is because, you know, when you're buying high value insurance, you want to be talking to someone. You want to be asking them questions. Yep. You want to feel like you're working with someone that you trust. And at that point, you know, this kind of like just digital interface on your laptop doesn't create the best experience for you. And insurance companies are, you know, obviously always thinking about what's going to get users to convert the best. And oftentimes it's actually a human, essentially a human form, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is a human form. And that is so funny to think about it, because when I think about my own experience, like, yeah, if I'm about to drop a lot of cash to buy something, I don't want to do it through a form on the internet because I feel like it is so impersonal, even though the human form is kind of the same thing. I'm just talking to a human and then they're doing it on their side. So it's like, let them fill out the form for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same in, you know, like the hospitality industry and in medicine, right? Like, people need that human touch in a lot of their interactions, even though it could theoretically be digitized. So that's why, like, you know, Feathery is a product, right? We have that digital component, but the human in the loop piece of things is also super important for a lot of information gathering workflows.
So tell me about where you see things going. What is your vision now, from now, for the next 6-12 months?
Yeah, totally. So obviously we're doubling down on like the product itself, like working on the user experience, workflow features. The AI piece is a huge part of it. And that's probably gonna be one of our biggest focuses moving forward. To your point about data quality, right? Like that's an ongoing battle for us. You know, these financial documents can get insanely complex, you know, like 30 page, like all these massive tables, right? Like, and these finance companies have like really high, like really strict requirements around like how good the data has to be before it's useful, right? Like they're looking at like 95%, 99% accuracy rates. which is like a far cry from where document intelligence was like, you know, 10 years ago. Back then, you know, they'd evaluate these solutions and, you know, our customers would tell us, they'd be like, yeah, we get like 30% accuracy tops. And I really feel like document intelligence is poised to make a major breakthrough with all these recent LLM developments, right? Because we can actually get up to these accuracy levels where financial services feel comfortable enough not needing people to then go and review every single document. Once you're at 99% accuracy, you're at human level accuracy. So for us, it's really about like just optimizing that experience, keeping accuracy up, keeping the speed up, to give them a good experience on the product.
Yeah, that's fascinating that you mentioned that, because 99% accuracy, you can't just like upload one of these financial documents into ChatGPT and get 99% accuracy out of the box. So there's a lot of work that's happening on your end, I imagine, trying to figure out how to get those extra percentage points on the accuracy side of things to make sure that you're ahead of the curve and you can have that trust.
There's a ton of components to it. You start with the pre-processing, right? Like making sure that the documents, like, you know, sometimes people will just take like a, you know, crappy image of like blurry image of some, you know, like PDF and upload it, right? Like you have to rotate it, crop it, you know, like fix the resolution. And after that, right, like GPT is part of the system that we use, but it's not the only piece that we use. Different systems are really great at different aspects of document recognition. And then we kind of use like a hybrid system that we've fine-tuned to kind of produce that final result for the user.
Incredible. Well, Peter, this has been fascinating, man. I really am excited for what you're building, and I wish you all the best with Feathery.
Thanks, Ed. I appreciate it. I had a really good time on this.